Alexa.
Ella.
We had home invasion today.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Our friend, the neighborhood tuxedo cat, came wandering up into the house again. And then Michael kind of ran out and the cat was like, oh, busted, and ran away. And then Percy was sat there on the stairs, and I know she invited him in. Like, they looked like kids that had tried to have a secret play date.
Yes.
That's what it looked like to me.
I can see that.
And we were like, girl, you have to stop bringing your friends over without permission. It's not polite.
No, it's not. She shouldn't be doing that.
No, particularly not friends that will take advantage of her. Because remember, he came in and ate her food.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. She has to learn how to set boundaries.
She does. And she was getting so good, but he charmed his way back in there with his, you know, his formal attire.
Yeah.
And his wiles. I mean,
a person in a suit is powerful. Like, what do you want
to
do?
It's so hard. It's so hard to overcome a suit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because I think it probably gives him a sense of authority.
Definitely.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like James Bond vibes or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Especially because he's like kind of being secretive. He's getting into her stuff. And she's like, okay, well, just this one time.
Yeah, and I'm like, stop giving Bond girl energy, Persephone. I raised you better than that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're a leading lady.
Yes.
So I don't know what we're going to do about this. I'm really reluctant to get a cat flap because she just is such an indoor girl that it doesn't feel worth it. But equally, we keep getting visitors.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do think you could, if it ends up being worth it, you could get the kind that are like activated by her collar or her chip.
Yeah.
Because I had that for a little while with Clem. And it was cool.
Yeah. But it is cool. It's just like having to cut a hole in the door.
We had a kind, I don't know where this would work for you, but ours was in a window and you didn't have to cut anything. It like basically, they sold two kinds, but if you had a window that opened like vertically or horizontally, they have two different options. But basically it just like it's jammed into the window and like comes with a thing that makes it fit. So that like, does this make any sense?
What? No, what is this sorcery?
Okay. So imagine a cat flap. It's small, you know, small. Yeah. Like, it doesn't need to be huge. Cats are quite slinky. So it's like probably, I don't know, 8 inches tall. And it has like, and it's a cube. But like next to it is a piece that like it's sort of like accordions and it's thick, so it's like insulated. That sits into the window.
Okay.
And so the flap just exists. It's like it's a window opener for cats specifically.
This is fascinating. Wait, I'm gonna have to look this up.
Yeah.
What's going on with you guys?
Well, so we got an early, also peek behind the curtains, we're recording this early, so normally by now we would be talking about how our Halloweens went, but in real life we haven't had Halloween yet, so neither of us can really say how they went. But
indeed.
I will say Crumb did a little trick-or-treat prank on me, is what I'm gonna call it now. And by prank, I mean woke up in the middle of the night and started having horrific diarrhea.
No.
And we were like, okay, neat. What's going on with you? It got kind of progressively worse. We went to the vet and they were like pretty calm. They were like, yeah, did he eat something weird? And we're like, I don't think so. But like, I don't know. I don't think so. So we had to switch. We got a fecal test. Sorry if you're squeamish, but so I got to bring in some of his disgusting poop to them and they said thank you very much for this. It's the one thing that is very funny about the vet to me, when that happens, we're like, I brought you some poop, and they go, thank you. But so the tests came back negative. He's okay.
Good.
We just had to switch to a little chicken and rice diet for a little while and things are already improving. But I was thinking, like, was this just a little Halloween? This was your trick? This is what you thought would be funny? Just to like.
And then the treat was that he got chicken and rice.
Exactly.
So.
Like, and he loves it. And also,
yeah,
now,
maybe he played you.
Yes. And by proxy, now Cricket is also getting chicken and rice meal because I can't give them different dinners. They would lose their minds. So it's very funny that, like, Cricket is also having bland diet because, but they both love it. Like, it's making me reconsider their whole food regimen because it's like, they often, I feed them and we pay for nice food, but I feed them and they go, okay, thanks. And they'll, like, leave it for, like, an hour. Yeah. They don't care. But this food, they gobble up.
It could also just be the novelty, right? Like, oh, we don't get this all the time.
Yeah. We'll have to test to see, like, when we're done with this diet, if I switch back, if it's like, ooh, new food again, or if they're like,
yeah,
where's the chicken?
Totally, yeah. Percy gets like this when we, like, if she's sick, we give her this specific, like, food that's gentle on her tummy that we get at the vet.
Yeah.
And she loves it. Oh my God, yeah. She absolutely loves it. She gets so excited, like, she, and will just, like, be licking the bowl, like, yes, going mad for it. I'm like, I don't know what they put in there, but yeah, glad Crumb, you like your medicine.
He would finish his food, and then last night he kept just, like, pawing at his bowl at me to be like, hey, this is empty. And I'm like, yeah, you ate it. Like, that's the end. But yeah, hopefully it's all uphill from here. I've never been had such a vested interest in my dog's poop, and it's so funny how, like, how not gross it becomes. Like, it really is just interesting where I'm like, okay, how's he doing? And, like, and if you're squeamish, don't listen right now, but, like, the thing that was alarming also was that, like, there was blood coming out.
Yeah.
And that's always scary. But then once we kind of got, like, that he was okay from the vet, it got less and less scary. But then, like, I would just, like, be telling Grant, he'd be like, how'd it go? And I'd be like, okay, like, way less blood, or, like, or just being like, okay, this one, just bright yellow, no blood, doing really good. Like, just full, like.
Totally.
And then just being like, that's great. And being like, yeah.
Like, yeah, for sure. And, like, yeah, just the level of detail. I'm like, oh, like, this unconditional love gives me, like, a teeny tiny insight into what it must be like to be a parent.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Because, you know, you think objectively, you're like, oh my God, I have to, if I have a kid, I have to wipe their poops for ages.
Yeah.
Are you, ew. But then you have an animal.
Yes.
And you're, and I'm, yeah, me and Michael are, like, detailing, like, how solid Percy's poops are.
Yes.
And then you realize.
Yeah. And we're really, like, you know, you're trying to find the right comparisons and you're like, wow. Oh, yeah, like that one was liquid. We're like, that one was more of a paste. That's better. Yeah. Like, great.
Oh, it's so gross.
It's so gross. But then also so normal. Also, like, you know, I've had to do quite a bit of rear cleanup afterwards because they don't come out great. And it's just like, we're getting the wet wipes. We had to buy new ones. And we were really discussing, like, the merits of different scents. Because it's like, no matter what, this smell I'm going to start to associate with poop because that's what I'm going to be using it for. So it's like a lot of like, well, should we get lavender? But I really like lavender and I don't know if I want it to be
it's so true,
like, tarnished with this, or do I just not care and I'll just try not to, I don't know.
But yeah, that's actually an excellent point,
right?
Yeah,
but I had one that I hated the smell of. It was like a honey oat one. And for, like, I don't know what it was about it, but I was like, this smells disgusting. And then I, like, then it mixes with the poop smell. And I'm like, this is the worst thing I've ever smelled. So you do have to pick one that you kind of like, I think. I don't know.
I think lavender's quite good because it isn't overpowering and it's fairly neutral.
Yes.
So, like, you can kind of, like, I think it'd be the easiest one to reform an attachment to after a poop debacle.
Yeah. That one has been good. So we have lavender and we have coconut. Because again, coconut is so common and normal that I think I'll smell it enough in my life that it's fine.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think you don't want to get too specific. You don't want to be like,
no,
this one's pine.
It's so true. That's Christmas ruined. Like, it's so true. It is scary when that happens. I mean, I said to you, Simba be pooping blood all the time, man. Like, that dog, it's just because he eats trash.
Yeah.
And, like, and then we go to the vet and they're like, oh, Simba, did you eat trash again?
Yeah.
And he hates the vet. He gets really stressed. The whole thing is a nightmare. And it's like, we've now kind of reached a point because he gets so distressed going to the vet. Like, bless him, like, a few, like in the summer at one point, I had him with me and we were going on the bus past the vet and he got so stressed just going, and he started like barking and whining. I had to say to people like, oh, I'm really sorry, we're just going past the vet. And they were like, oh, baby.
Yeah.
So now we're just a bit like, unless it's really, really bad,
we're just going
to... You ate paper, that's why.
No, you saying that was actually helpful because I was like, great. So that, because, you know, kind of classic like internet, if you Google a symptom, they're like,
you Google anything, they're going to tell you anything is dying.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter who or what.
Yeah.
You, a pet, like a pet, a fish, you like yes. the chicken in the fridge that you were meant to be eating, like they're always going to tell you the worst thing.
Yes.
Like it just doesn't, yeah.
Yeah, like true, like it. It might as well have also been like, your dog is probably already dead by the time you're reading this, but also you're probably dead now too. Like, totally. Did you look at it? It's sort of a Medusa situation. So if you saw the bloody poop, you're also dead. And I was like, okay, great. Like, great, great, great.
Honestly.
But so you saying that Simba, that happens to him frequently, I was like, okay. So like, not to say like, don't see, like, obviously seek medical attention if your pet needs it. But there's something for nice sure. about being like, this is a thing that happens.
Yeah, their tummies get a bit irritated.
Yeah.
They're sensitive little babies.
Yeah.
They'll be fine.
And they're just built different than humans. Because, like...
Totally.
If you're pooping blood, you should maybe go to the doctor. Unless...
For sure.
Unless you ate beets recently and you forgot. Don't forget.
Yeah, that's also true. But yeah, no, if you're pooping blood, go to the doctor. Yeah. But also, like... Simba will be sick and then eat it, and I'm not doing that. So, you know, we have very different internal makeups.
Yes. I frequently have to get Cricket, don't eat the cat poop. Like,
it's so gross, man.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're squeamish, you can listen in again now. Oh, I have a cute thing to show you. Stay there. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, so... I know it is technically after Halloween at the time of this episode, but it's not Halloween yet for us,
yes,
right?
Yes.
My grandma got me this.
Oh, no. It's so cute. It's a little Simba.
It's so cute. It's a little Simba. It's like a little dog plushie.
Yeah.
And they have like a little bat headband
yeah.
on their head and a little cape.
His little cape.
And I don't know what to name them.
Ooh.
So... all thoughts and suggestions welcome.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Think of like a vamp. Okay, it's Simba, so it's a little, it looks like a poodly dog, but also yeah. has...
We'll post a picture yeah. and then everyone can comment the name that they think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking like vampire-y names, but also could be a little bit witchy, could be, you know, play around right. with it.
Yeah, like, or like a pun, like Beelzebub, you know?
That's pretty good.
Thank you, yeah. Yeah. Like my friend said yesterday, Frankenstein.
Pretty good.
Which is pretty good. So yes, all suggestions welcome. I thought it was adorable.
Yeah.
yeah.
I've been trying to do a Nosferatu one this whole time, and it's like Nosferatu, but that's already in
that's
there.
That's pretty. Yeah, but that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay.
Nosferatu, that's good. I like
it's
that.
Just like I didn't change anything. I just said it. It's not really a pun. Well, this week on Comfort Creatures, featuring yes. Ella and Alexis, the podcast that you're listening to. It is close to remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder treason and plot over there.
It is. It is indeed. It's close to fireworks night.
Yeah.
A weird time of year to be a black British Londoner of Caribbean descent marrying an Irish Catholic Republican. It's a weird time of year.
It's a lot
in our household.
Yes.
But you know, obviously we don't condone any acts of aggression. Against the state on Comfort Creatures. Just saying,
yes.
Guy Fawkes gets a bit of a raw deal.
Yes.
He gets a bit of a raw deal. That being said, I do enjoy fireworks.
Yeah, I do too. Also, I still like the movie V for Vendetta, so...
I've not seen that.
Really?
No.
I don't know if it holds up if you didn't watch it when it came out, you know what I mean? But...
Yeah, what is it?
I really liked it. It's about...
Is it Gum?
Well, it's about... Natalie Portman. Really? You've never seen V for Vendetta? That's wild.
Never.
You should watch it. I'm genuinely curious how it holds up because I haven't watched it in a long time, but it was like a phenomenon here. Like,
oh my gosh, okay.
And it's how I know about Guy Fawkes. Not they use Guy Fawkes imagery in that movie.
Cool.
But Natalie Portman is incredible in that movie.
Like, I mean, she's incredible in everything.
Yeah. But I truly think like it's one of my favorite of her performances. And what is it? Hugo Weaving? Is that who plays? Yes. It's Hugo Weaving and Natalie Portman. It's,
oh, I know who you mean. Oh, yeah. He's got such a, I don't know, like a villainous face.
Well, what's nice is that, I mean, not nice, but like it's mostly his voice. He's in a mask most of the movie. So that's also something that's kind of interesting. I'm very curious to see if it holds up for you. So please report back.
Cool.
Obviously, you should watch it on the holiday.
I absolutely will. Yeah. That sounds great for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to see some fireworks and then I will come back and watch this movie.
Great. I wonder if Michael's seen it. Anyway.
I'll ask him, but yeah. I'm sure he'd be game. I feel like he would enjoy this kind of thing.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Anyway. Oh, because of all that.
Because of, yes, that's it. That's where we were going with this.
I was like, why are we talking about this?
Fireworks.
Yes.
Night. We were thinking about some fire-themed creatures. And again, in the list of creatures that feel really obvious, but we don't think we have significantly discussed.
Yeah.
The Phoenix. Phoenix. Everybody.
Yeah. Not just a city in Arizona anymore. It's
no.
Big, it's more than that, guys. It's a creature. And I think most of us know that, but maybe you don't. Yeah, so we're gonna talk about that. And we also have a Ready Pet Go from Alex and Daisy. So we'll hear about that as well.
As an Arizonian?
Yeah.
Arizonian?
Yeah.
Is that what you guys go by?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Do you think that the Phoenix Suns are kind of annoyed that they couldn't be the Phoenix Phoenixes?
Oh.
Because wow. It just seems like a... do you know what I mean? It seems like a shame that... I don't know. I think I'd rather be...
Phoenix Phoenix?
A Phoenix and a Sun, kind of.
The Phoenix Phoenixes. Phoenix... Well, I know that sometimes you say Phoenician. If you're from,
if you're from
be
Phoenix,
the Phoenician Phoenix.
That's really funny.
Wait, so
people from Phoenix call themselves Phoenicians?
I've heard that. I don't know how often it's
like
used.
Like the ancient civilization.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Because it sounds better than saying I'm a Phoenixonian or something, but
yeah, it does. It's just such a it just means something entirely different. Hilarious.
But it's just fun.
It's
to
just
do.
Funny to me that there are two groups of, like, you know, there are people in, like, you know, around Lebanon and Jordan
yeah.
and like Turkey and that part of the world that are saying like, oh, we have Phoenician heritage, and then there's like someone in Phoenix,
yeah, yes,
who's, you know, as Celtic as they come, who's like, I'm a Phoenician.
I'm
too.
A Phoenician. I am Phoenician.
Yeah,
like, that's, I truly don't know if I've ever heard someone earnestly say it. Like, you know what I mean? It's almost used sometimes as a joke. I feel like it's like,
I'm
a Phoenician.
A joke.
Like, it's,
that's funny.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's good.
From the people of Phoenix. But I mean, look, the sun thing makes sense.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, I mean, the mythology around Phoenixes is very cool. They're one of those creatures, and I just get very excited by these, like I do about convergent evolution, that kind of seem to pop up in quite a similar form in quite a few cultures.
Yeah.
So they technically originate in Greek mythology.
Mm-hmm.
They are known, as I'm sure everyone listening is aware, for their ability to rise from the ashes. So in some versions of this myth, the phoenix dies, decomposes into ashes, and then immediately comes back to life. And then in other versions of the myth, the phoenix dies and it's a whole new bird that rises from the ashes. But either way, you get this sort of cycle of death and life and rebirth.
Yeah. Okay, so something I was thinking about while looking this up.
Mm-hmm.
Do the memories of the previous phoenix exist in the new phoenix?
Oh.
Like.
That's a fun existential question.
Yeah. Is it a whole new bird, or does it contain the echoes of the former bird and all the birds before it? Because in a way, they could be these really powerful kind of
sources of wisdom. Yeah.
But I don't know if that's actually ever been explored much or if it's talked about. And then if it's not, like, if they don't have any of that, like, it's a whole new animal, you're sort of getting into weird kind of, like, because they are associated with kind of everlasting life, it's like, but are they? Or is it just a whole new guy every time?
Yeah. I think that there must be something of the original Phoenix in the new Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, I don't, maybe it's not like either or, maybe it's like there's like a trace.
Yeah. You know what it's a bit like is Doctor Who.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what okay, I think. Great. Yeah. Yeah. They're like Time Lords.
Yeah. Yeah.
For
okay,
sure.
Cool.
Yeah. So there's obviously some dispute about where the kind of Phoenix myth originates because Herodotus, one of my favorite classical historians, he's an ancient Greek historian and geographer, he attributes the origin of the Phoenix to ancient Egypt.
Okay.
But then others think that it did indeed originate in ancient Greece. So, for example, Hesiod, who is, I love Hesiod. Hesiod is a ancient Greek poet from around like the 8th century BC. And there is a kind of extract from a poem called The Precepts of Chiron, where, I mean, we don't even have the full poem anymore, but in this poem, it's Chiron teaching Achilles, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's this whole thing where Chiron talks about like life and death and sort of the cycle of, it reminds me a bit of that Mufasa bit with Simba being like, and then we die and then our bodies become the grass and the antelopes eat the grass.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that. So Chiron to Achilles, according to Hesiod, a chattering crow lives now 9 generations of aged men, but a stag's life is 4 times a crow's, and a raven's life makes 3 stags old. While the phoenix outlives 9 ravens, but we, the rich-haired nymphs, daughters of Zeus and the Aegeus holder, outlive 10 phoenixes. So there's this idea that like phoenixes basically outlive everyone other than gods and demigods.
Right.
So they are very, very long lived. So I don't know. I think that kind of lends itself to the idea that there's something of the original phoenix and the new phoenix.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because they're being sort of elevated to the status of nearly a god.
Yes. There's a similar Egyptian nugget, basically, is what I'm going to call it, that only one phoenix existed at any time, and it was very long-lived. No ancient authority gave it a lifespan of less than 500 years. And there, at the end, they would, like, make a nest of aromatic spices, set it on fire, and was consumed in the flame, and then would, you know, classic phoenix style become reborn. But yeah, 500 years is a good chunk.
That is a really good chunk, yeah. And again, like, so, as I said, Herodotus thought that the ancient Egyptians kind of were the kind of originators of the phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
He said in some of his writing in the 5th century BC, so a few hundred years after Hesiod, that their phoenixes are very rare. They kind of appear once every 500 years. And they are kind of beautifully plumed in red and gold and about the size of an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we've got some cross-pollination of myth here, which I always find really interesting. And it makes me want to just like figure out like the trade routes at that time and be like, where did this come from? Yes. Who's talking to who?
Yes. And I mean, also, you know, it makes sense. In my brain, there's such like different places, but like truly, they're not that far apart.
No, they're not.
So it does make sense that things would
They were in contact.
Yes.
So
they were texting.
There's a lot of cross-pollination with ancient Egyptian, ancient Greek myth anyway. So it does make sense. As you would imagine, because of the Phoenix Suns.
Yes.
The Phoenixes have a connection with the sun. So they are often depicted as having halos with 7 rays, which is really similar to the Greek god Helios.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Greek god Helios, they kind of are often depicted as being kind of red and gold and similar to the description that Herodotus told us. You found something interesting about the possibility of it being connected to an actual bird.
Yeah. So as I was looking this up, there's not, you know, a ton, but there is one argument that, according to good old Pliny the Elder's description of a phoenix.
Oh, we love a bit of, are you going for Pliny? Is that how you guys are taught?
I honestly don't know. Like, I've heard
Pliny.
Pliny. I've heard Pliny, but I don't know if, like...
Well, we're all making a massive assumption because none of us have heard him say it.
Exactly. And I only say that, weirdly, basically it's assumed, because basically I've heard mostly British people talk about him.
Mm.
But rarely do we say a thing like that the same.
Yeah,
you know,
so true.
So I just assume that as an American, I should say Pliny.
Yeah, like, no, so it's Grant and Grant all over again.
Exactly, yeah. And, like, when I, like, look at that word, that's how I think I would say it.
Yeah, Pliny. So valid.
I don't know. Anyway, you got to have him around. But according to his description of a phoenix, it seems to look similar to a golden pheasant of the Far East, is what he said.
Mm.
And so I looked up the golden pheasant, also known as the Chinese pheasant or the rainbow pheasant. So there's not a ton, honestly, about this bird. It's gorgeous, though. So I get why they thought it. Basically, it is from genus is basically, I'm sorry, I'm going to figure out how to say this. Chrysolophus, with golden crest, and mm-hmm. Pictus, which is the Latin for painted. So a painted golden crest makes perfect sense. Basically, the males are classic bird thing, but the males are the ones that have all the color. And so they get to be about, they're light, they're 2 pounds, but they get about 39 inches long or 100 centimeters.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like these golden crests and like bright red, like rumps. They have an orange, what's called a cape on the back. And like this sort of orangish gold, it's really gold, face that covers it, except for the eyes, and the eye is bright yellow. And so they're truly stunning. And what's interesting is you mentioned them being depicted as like having rings from the sun, but these birds sort of have like a ring like look to their like heads.
Mm.
So it is like, I wonder if there's some connection there. The females, however, are like similar size, but they're just like a brown bird with some gray stripes. Like very classic.
Yeah, sure.
Like they don't need to bother.
They don't have to work that hard.
Yeah. Oh, this is kind of interesting. Some abnormal females may later in their lifetime develop some male plumage, which is just a cool little like maturity thing. But
that is
sometimes
cool.
I'm like, I want a little red chest too. and yeah, they are found in like Western China. And they mainly eat grain, leaves. They roost in trees at night.
Nice.
The kind of classic bird stuff.
Classic pheasant behavior.
Yeah. There's nothing like super crazy beyond that. Like they might have inspired some of these descriptions. And there is a strong, I guess they were introduced to Hawaii at a point. So you can find them there as well. And I could see why they were like, this looks tropical. We should bring this here, like, even
yeah,
though it's
sure.
not where it's from. But yeah, that might be a source of the phoenix's looks.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, they do look quite phoenix-like.
Yeah. They're
so
honestly, like, look, and I get why they were, like, called a painted bird, because it does, like, look like you just took, like, a paint by numbers and just, like, took different chunks and painted it the brightest color you had, because they are just insane looking.
Yeah, so. They're stunning.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big fan of a firebird. I would love to see more phoenix iconography in this year's fireworks display. If anyone from Battersea Council is listening.
Yeah, okay. I bet they are.
So I bet they are. I'm almost certain. If you're listening mm-hmm. and you're still putting your finishing touches to the fireworks display, a phoenix
uh-huh.
would be great.
Yeah. I have a
That'd
question.
Be really cool.
Is there a specific like fireworks there? Are there main places that like put on the shows that you go to?
Yeah, like I mean it's changed. So it's run by like local councils mm-hmm. and but they tend to rotate it around.
Mm.
Well, they did when I was growing up, they would like rotate it around all the councils in like an area because otherwise there's just no point in having like loads of fireworks displays in like a really small area. Mm-hmm. But now it's been like I've been to the same one for the last few years, in Battersea, which is really good. So yeah, there are like specific places that people go to, and it's generally whether you're like north, south, east, or west,
right,
of London, where you'll end up going. But it's a nice autumnal evening out. It's like loads of people go. I think it was like 50,000 people. Whoa. Last year. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. It was 50,000 people. Wow. Which is one, and I always have this moment whenever I watch fireworks, particularly in a crowd as big as that, where I'm like, if an alien like spaceship was flying over Earth right now and looked down and saw like 50,000 humans looking up at lights in the sky going, ooh, ah, wow. They'd be like, oh, this isn't worth it.
What are they doing? Those are just lights. You guys got it. Okay. Leave them alone.
But it's just very wholesome.
Yeah.
You go, you get like a hot apple cider or a mulled mm-hmm. wine and a snack. And
cute. Yeah, this is great.
It's cute. It's been really cute. The last couple of years, like, I've gone with my friends, but we've brought our mums, which is really sweet. So it's a good time.
Cute.
But look after your pets, people. True. They don't like it.
No. Yeah, I guess that's your...
Percy doesn't care, but...
Yeah. Your 4th of July is sort of then, so...
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, happy fireworks day.
Thanks.
Yeah. Is that what you say?
I don't know if there's really a greeting. Just, yeah. I don't know.
Maybe we can make one.
Yeah. What would it be?
I'm trying to think if we could incorporate the phoenix. Maybe you could caw at people.
Oh, that'd be fun. Just say, rise, friend.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Rise, friend. Rise, friend to you.
Rise. No, the response would have to be like, from the ashes.
Ooh, that's really good. There's a one of my favorite Italian phrases that, like, basically if you're about to like take a test or something, instead of good luck, you'd say like in bocca al lupo, which is like in the mouth of the wolf. And then the teacher would say that. So it's like good luck in the mouth of the wolf. And then in response, you say crepi, which means like may it die. Like, may the wolf die and not take my life. Like, it's a very weird Italian phrase that I love.
That's great. Like, I wonder what the origin of that is.
It's actually crazy that I've never looked this up. It was used in opera. Yeah, you say crepi il lupo, which is may the wolf die, or just crepi. And it's equivalent to break a leg, which kind of makes sense. Originated with hunters wishing each other to be in dangerous situations. The superstitious use of wishing a negative or dangerous situation as a way of wishing good luck is common in other languages. And the image of the wolf, like being a hungry and violent creature, is common. Obviously, we know that. Mm. But yeah, I guess it's just like a hunting term that got used.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. There you go.
Cool.
Jackie Cation. Hi, and welcome to the MaximumFun.org podcast, The Jackie and Lauren Show, where we talk about stand-up comedy and how much we love it and how much it enrages us.
We have a lot of experience and a lot of stories and a lot of time on our hands. So check us out. It's 1 hour a week, and we drop it every Wednesday on MaximumFun.org.
Most of the plants humans eat are technically grass.
Most of the asphalt we drive on is almost a liquid.
The formula of WD-40 is San Diego's greatest secret.
Zippers were invented by a Swedish immigrant love story.
On the podcast Secretly Incredibly Fascinating, we explore this type of amazing stuff.
Stuff about ordinary topics like cabbage and batteries and socks.
Topics you'd never expect to be the title of the podcast. Secretly Incredibly Fascinating.
Find us by searching for the word secretly in your podcast app.
And at MaximumFun.org.
A Okay, everyone, we have a Ready, Pet, Go from Alex and Daisy. Ready, Pet, Go. Hello, Alexis and Ella. I'd like to tell you about my wonderfully special dog, Daisy. I'd always wanted a dog as a child, but I never got one until I was already 28 years old. Daisy was my first dog, but I wasn't her first human or her second. No. For my first dog, I chose a 3-year-old depressed, poorly socialized, 2-time shelter surrender hound mix weighing 113 pounds. But the day she was adopted defined our entire relationship. When I saw Daisy, the only dog lying sullenly on her cot while all the other dogs were jumping and barking to get picked, I abandoned all notions of what I wanted my first dog to be in favor of which dog needed me most, and it was her. Over the next 2 years, we became an inseparable pair. I consulted trainers, watched YouTube videos, read articles on the best ways to rehabilitate her. We went on long walks and short runs. We practiced good manners with people and other dogs. We drilled commands, and I gave her the warmth. I gave her all the warmth and comfort she had been denied before. By the time she turned 6, she lost 25 pounds and was a happy regular at the dog park where she got to run and play off-leash with other dogs. She loved dental chews, playing with toys, and oddly, she loved wearing clothes. Sweaters, bandanas, raincoats, onesies, Halloween costumes, you name it. Send us the Halloween costume pictures. Thank you. You name it, she loved it. I built cosplay and puppets as a hobby, and Daisy loved to be included, going so far as to serve as a dress form model for a life-sized Scooby-Doo puppet.
Wow.
I bought cosplays for her, including a dragon, a bunch of grapes, a McDonald's apple pie, and Banjo the Bear from the video game Banjo-Kazooie. If I hadn't seen it myself, I wouldn't have believed the pure joy radiating from this dog when she got to wear bright yellow trousers.
Little did I realize Daisy was also rehabilitating me. I was a daily smoker, but I quit in order to keep both of us healthy and properly exercised. I had been in an abusive relationship, and not only did the happiness I found with Daisy help me recognize that, but I found the courage to leave in order to keep both of us safe. She helped me become more patient, more responsible, and more loving. Qualities I know helped me find the incredible person I married last year. And yes, Daisy stood up in the wedding in a fabulous tuxedo. Daisy and I made each other better. The work we did together and the joy we brought each other gave us both a longer, fuller life than either of us thought we'd have. And I'm so proud of her. Her adoption vet gave her a maximum of 8 to 10 years because of her size and history. But she shattered expectations and lived happily until she was 13 years old. After 4 years of steadily degenerating arthritis, two of which she spent in a wheelchair on 2 different pain pills, and with me deadlifting her up and down the stairs, she let me know it was finally time to let her go this past December. It was the single hardest thing I've ever had to do. It's easy to focus on the changes I made to my life, the physical and emotional labor I did, and the sacrifices I made for this dog. But she worked just as hard, if not harder. I don't know what she went through before she met me, but I watched her let go of that trauma and trust that she was safe, that she was loved, and that I always had her back. And I did. Her smiling portrait now sits on our mantle. I crafted a bracelet from her leash and name tag. I wear her bandanas sometimes. I got a tattoo of 2 daisies on my forearm, one for each of us. We've since adopted another puppy who we love dearly, and even though she probably has no idea what we're talking about, we tell her about her grandma Daisy all the time.
Oh, God.
I did it without crying.
Oh, I didn't. Oh man, I love this freaking podcast. Like, I love that people write in and tell us this stuff and just make me cry about really their dogs that saved their lives. Oh wow, Alex, you got me. You really got me.
I had to not look at Ella because I knew if I did, I wouldn't be able to get through like reading it. Weeping. And so I was like, don't look at Ella. Focus on the words. That was so beautiful.
Thank you. Oh, it was so beautiful. Thank you so much for sending that in.
Yeah.
She sounds so special.
Yeah. I love her. I love the picture of her in her little wheelchair. She's so cute.
It's just like Grandma Daisy. I don't know. That really gets me. It's so cute.
It's so cute. Thank you so much, Alex.
Amazing.
Notes, obviously.
Send us Daisy Halloween pictures, please. Mm-hmm.
Please send us pictures of, honestly, all of it. I want to see your cosplay also. It just sounds cool.
Yeah, your cosplay sounds amazing.
Yeah, that was great. I don't have a lot of words because Yeah, it was really beautiful, and I'm not crying. I'm not gonna cry. Yeah, nice try. I did tear up, and I am very close to crying. Yeah, it was so sweet. I love dogs so much.
They're just like, we don't deserve them.
No, It's crazy.
We really don't.
It's, also, I would love to know about your new dog, because...
Yes, that too.
I'm glad that you did that. It's wonderful.
I'm so glad I'm seeing Simba tomorrow. I'm going to go and kiss his stupid face.
Yeah, every time we do these afterwards, I'm like, you guys are so special.
That's honestly. So grateful for you.
Thank you for pooping on the floor the other day. That's nice. I'm grateful for every poop.
I know, honestly. And I'm grateful to you guys as well, who send us in your lovely stories about your pets. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Continue to do it.
Yeah. Email them.
Keep sending them
to us at comfortcreatures@maximumfun.org. And obviously, also, you don't have to make us cry. You can. I love it. But you also don't feel pressure to be like, oh, no, I got to make them cry, because
you don't have to do that. You can make us laugh. You can make us smile.
Yeah.
You can make us go, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, like whatever floats your boat.
Yes. Also, obviously, we're recording this early, so if you send it in between, I'll get it. But if you sent Already Pet Go like past, like, I don't know, prior to prior to September of 2025, and like we didn't play it, resend it, because there's a chance that I just missed it. I try to keep track of them pretty well, but every once in a while one slips through the cracks. So don't feel bad pinging me and being like, hey, you missed one, because I definitely want to play them all, or listen to them all, read them all, whatever it's called.
Is that all the things?
I think that's all the things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. I've been Alexis B. Preston.
I've been Ella McLeod.
Maximum Fun, a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.